Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are in Acts chapter 3, so if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up and stood, walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for just a great awareness of who you are. Lord, we come with anticipation. We come with a grateful heart. We come with a heart to receive what your Spirit would teach us this morning. Bless your word. Bless our hearts. Be blessed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, there's an interesting thing that is always asked in the church, especially nowadays. Why doesn't God move like he did in the book of Acts? Why do we not see more miracles? Surely, God is the same of yesterday, today, and forever, so why don't we see these things? Well, I suggest to you that the reason why is because of us. Not that the Spirit withholds, the Spirit looks for vessels. Now, before us, the reason I went from verse 1 on is last week we saw him who received. This morning I want you to take a look at those who give. We're going to see 10 things here. It seems kind of daunting. 10 things, though, that we'll see about Peter and John and what the Holy Spirit is looking for in you and in me to work the wonders that is his. So if you will, in verse 1, what do we see? We see that Peter and John, again, they went up together in the temple the ninth hour. The ninth hour is 3 o'clock. What's so significant about 3 o'clock is not only it was the hour of prayer, but if you remember right in the Gospels, this is when Jesus said, among a few other things, "It is finished." And then he gave up his ghost and died. This moment, they decide to come together and pray. Now, the first thing to take note of is that they were together. It's really important to take note of this because, again, God has not called anybody to be a lone wolf. And there's a reason for that. I want you to know. They stayed in fellowship, which is number one, because of important things. See, God's Spirit desires to work through people, but the thing is so many people think that they can be separated. And this doesn't just mean physically, this means emotionally and spiritually. See, it's important for us to stay in fellowship so we can be grounded and that we can have accountability. I'm accountable to you all. I'm accountable to Caleb. I'm accountable to Kevin. I'm accountable to you. I'm accountable to the board that we have. That I would stay true to the Word of God. I am not the one that's the dictator here. I am just the servant, the minister. And in saying that, my job as the minister is to preach the Word. But see, our job together is to stay in fellowship. That if there is something that I say in error, that you do have the right to come and question me. But see, the thing is I stand up here being vulnerable. What about you? Are you vulnerable to somebody else? Are you accountable to somebody else? Do you feel alone? Then you need to find someone, and hopefully in this fellowship. As we come together each Sunday morning, again, is to talk to each other. How are you doing? Not this stuff that we hear, so I'm doing fine. Are you? Really? Now, we're doing things in life group, and I know you're a part of it, is that we pointedly ask you, are you fine? Is there something we can be praying for? It's okay. It's okay if at the moment your life seems to be a mess. That's all right. Because if we admit and we agree with each other, life is just messy. It just is. And it's okay. Because if you can't be real in the church, then where can you be real? But again, the Spirit looks for real people. People that stay in fellowship. People that are just like we sang there. Oh, it was so beautiful this morning, wasn't it? But especially at the end when we were just singing without instruments. We together were singing together. Together. So number one, the Spirit looks for those who stay in fellowship. So they can be accountable to each other. Now notice where were they going? They're going to prayer. At what time? The third hour. Or the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Now this was a time of prayer. But what does this say about them? Well, it says that they're consistent about something. What's that? Staying in prayer. Doing their devotions. Talking, if you will, about the Word of God, too. They're prepared. See, they're preparing themselves to be in tune to God this morning or this afternoon as they were walking. Number two, remember this. Be prepared. Stay in tune. Stay consistent in your devotion. I know you have found this to be true, that you'll read something and then the Lord will use that during the day. Maybe to encourage you throughout the day or maybe that you can share with somebody else. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a preacher of the past, a great preacher, an English preacher, was told after one of his sermons, he goes, "Wow," somebody said to him, "that was inspiring." And he said, "Was it? Because in preparation, I perspired. It was work. Work. letting, if you will, God shovel in the heart, taking the sword and piercing it and cutting and dividing, teaching and ministering. That's why we teach here. So our hearts would be in tune to what God wants to say to us. But not only what God wants to say, the character of God. As we learn and we grow, as we spend that time, even in those aggravating times that just doesn't seem like anything's coming, but still we're consistent, inspired by His Spirit to be in devotion to Him. These things are elementary, really. And if you will, most of us can say, okay, we do these things. We're prepared. We're in tune. We're accountable. Now look at verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, fixing his eyes on him, With John, Peter said, look at us. Now, look at us. Look at us. Focus. Draw on your attention. We want you to know something. It's 3 p.m. It's time for prayer. We need to be consistent in our prayer life and our devotion to God. We don't have time for you. We're in a hurry here. We got to keep going. Keep moving on. Catch us maybe on the way out. Maybe not. And I know you're smiling and you get it. I'm joking, of course. What did they do? They stopped. They looked right at him. They were, listen, they were flexible. Number 3, they were flexible. They were open to God's Spirit to move how God wanted to move. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There's times that there is a time clock that you have to be devoted to. And one of them, if you will, if you're at work, then your job is to work. It's not to steal from your employer. It's to be obedient to what God has called you in that moment. But it doesn't mean that you're not open to share. There are times to share at work. There's times to do it, times to find out. But again, the lesson here is being flexible. And if you will, in our society, so many times we're not flexible. We're just saying, okay, God, you have to move in this time. Oh, you didn't move. Okay, I don't have time, God. I'm on a time frame here. I got to move. I got to keep moving. And this traffic, of course, is easing up, I think, a little bit. You always feel like you're late. I don't have time. If you will, it's one of the few things that you actually can give to God is your time. Time. They were flexible, but something else you'll take note of. Notice they were sensitive. They were sensitive to this man who had a need. They were sensitive to that which was around them. Before. Are we sensitive to those around us? There's everywhere you look, there's people in need. Everywhere. All you have to do is be sensitive. Or in a lot of cases, just ask, how you doing? I find people in the world will share their hearts many times quicker than believers. It's interesting, isn't it? See, it really is to be sensitive. Because, see, God's Spirit's sensitive to everyone. Isn't that interesting? Think about that for just a second. Let that just mull in mind. God's well aware of everybody on this earth all the time. God hears the hurt and pain of every person on this earth. Isn't it good news that God does have the remedy? But, see, He uses us, and we'll get into this a little deeper, to be what? Sensitive to those around us, but also sensitive to His Spirit as He desires to move in and through each of us, using us. So many times we're unavailable, aren't we? Catch me on the way out, Lord. I'll help him then. If he's still there, if he's not, oh well. Maybe somebody else will minister to him. Look at verses 5 and 6 and remember something. This isn't for guilt trip. What this is for is a desire of mine and yours, I'm sure. God, we need you in this society. God, we need your spirit to move powerfully in this society. They need to see Jesus, the remedy of the broken. Look at verse 5. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, if you notice, he just didn't give him a handout. Now, that's what we do in our society, isn't it? Is the handout seems to be the easiest. Just give them money. Or, if you will, the flip side of it is that we see so many people panhandling that we become kind of cold to it. Because, to be frank with you, is a lot of them don't really need it. But the question is which ones really do need it? Again, it goes back to something else. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? But see, what it takes too is, number 5, it takes discernment. Discernment. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to do in this person's life? How does God want to use me in this moment? Maybe it is give $10, $15, $20, $25, whatever. Maybe it's something different. How do I learn that? How do I grow in that? How do I know what God desires in me? Did we talk about 1 and 2 already? See, as we're in fellowship, as we're talking these things over, as we talk about the things of God to each other, we grow in our understanding. But even more so, because what we're doing is we're talking about what God has said in our devotion life together. In our devotion life separately. See, we learn to hear God's voice, but we hear His voice in His Word. He doesn't contradict His Word. That's why, if you will, it's easy to detect somebody when they're false and speaking lies from the Word. And we hear it a lot. And I know you're discerning and you hear it and you go, "No, that's not true. That's not God. That's not the character of God. You don't know God." Because God has expressed Himself in His Word and even more in 3D, Jesus Christ. We see that. We understand that. So it's as we learn to hear His voice and His Word, we hear His voice in our hearts. He speaks to us. Now, in discernment too, in Hebrews 5:14, it says, "Solid food belongs to those who are full of age." That is, those who by reason of use, dividing the Word of God, if you will, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You, me. God desires us to be growing in our faith, growing in understanding of who He is, open to His Spirit to move in our hearts, discerning what He desires to do in any given moment. But see, again, a lot of this happens through openness, being open to what God desires to do. Now, again, remember he said this. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were received strength. What does Peter and John have? They have the power and the authority. Do we? Of course. But what's it for? Well, again, like it's they are already told in Acts. They said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's to understand something. He has given us the power, but he's also given us the authority. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. According to what? His will, his name, like we talked about last week. It's all about him. It's his purpose, his glory, his will, not mine. How many times have you prayed for somebody when they're sick and your will is, oh, heal this person. How wonderful that would be. How great that is. But see, again, it goes back to discerning. Discerning, what does God want to do? Open to what God wants to do in every person's life. Because ultimately, and we'll talk about this in a minute, it's about Jesus Christ. What is he doing? How's he working? But see, power and authority are very interesting things. Now, we just said something. You've all been given the power. Problem is some of you don't know it. Some of you are still questioning, do I have it? And see, just asking that question is showing that you got it wrong. It's not a matter of do you have it. It's all about does he have you? Power that he desires to display through your life is his power in and through you. Giving you the authority in his name. Now, again, there's those that may understand this and they have the power. But then they go around doing things without the authority. Like, I got the power. I feel the Spirit come, come in the front and I will pray over you and you shall be healed. You've seen the services. We won't go into detail of that. But there's also those that have the authority but don't acknowledge that they have the power. That God is speaking in your heart to say something and you're going, oh, this just sounds foolish. How will the person take it? And see, again, we're talking about something here. We're talking about a people that will be open to God's Spirit moving in and through them so that God can, again, turn this world upside down. Really, if you will, like he's doing in other countries. But again, we're a little comfortable here. I mean, this sounds good and all. And again, it's not just you. It's us as Americans. It's like, yeah, but, you know, let's kind of ease up on this. Let's put the little brakes on here. You know, I mean, there's time for it and there's time for not. You know, we're not being flexible. We're not really open for God's Spirit to move because, you know, I got things to do. I'm doing things, you know, in my life. I'm moving. Moving in my direction. Praying that God would bless my direction. Instead of, again, just the openness of understanding that God has given you the power and the authority. And that, you know what that includes too? The things that we struggle with in our lives. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You probably have that memorized. See, the reality is again, is him doing it in and through you and us submitting unto him. God's Spirit so desires to move. But again, it's understanding, being open, acknowledging that he has given you the power and the authority. Remember something. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the power. And it's the Holy Spirit that speaks the authority. Ours is to discern, to be sensitive, to be flexible, to be open. Look at verse 8. So he, leaping up and stood, walked and entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now the lame man who was healed Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch. which is called Solomon's Greatly Amazed. Notice the lame man is holding on to Peter and John. They didn't say, yeah, you're healed, now go on. Go on your way. We did our job. Go on. No, see, there's something deep here. There's something that is glaring for each of us. See, again, God may call you, and this may hinder all of us, is He may call you to pray over somebody. He may call you to minister to somebody. He may call you to do something wonderful and amazing. But see, the thing is that we too need to, just like Peter and John, be open to continuing being in this person's life. And if you will, that is number 7. To be open, to be used continually in that person's life. And you may say, how do I know that God would have me disciple this person? How would I know that God wants me to continue to minister to this person? Well, actually, if you will, it kind of gives us kind of a clue here. If you notice, it's the lame man that's holding on to Peter and John. He's not letting go. Can you blame him? It's being open. Say, Lord, I'm available to this person. You know, I have to say something too. It's a hard thing. It is. And I get it. But people will want to be ministered to, but they don't hold on. They start feeling like I'm a burden. Can I tell you from a pastor's perspective? You got to have Jacob's mentality. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until He blesses me. I'm not letting go until He has all of me. My dad used to have a saying. It's an old saying, but I always think of my dad when these old sayings pop into my head. He used to always say, the squeaking wheel gets the oil. To dive in. To be open and say, I'm hungry, Pastor. What do I do? I'm having trouble with my devotions. Pastor, can you help me? I just seem so dry to me. Can we talk about it sometimes? Keep at it. Keep asking. It's not just me either. Ask Caleb. Ask an elder. Ask somebody in the church that you respect. But stop feeling like you're alone. Because again, it really comes about down to God is the minister. And God is looking for a people that's open to learn and grow in Him. Look at verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? This is probably the most important point of the message. If you notice something here, Peter quickly demolishes any idea that it was because of him, his maturity, his godliness, his spiritual power. It ain't me, folks. It ain't me, he's saying to this man. Don't look at me as if it's something that is special. How did he learn this? Through humility. He failed. Oh, failure. Blessed be failure. Why? Because it keeps a person humble. God is looking for humble people. Peter said it this way, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. See, he's looking for humble people so he can use them, so he would be the one that would be magnified. So so many people desire and go for. You know, and that's the thing. It's us. The problem is us. Why? Because God does move. God's continuing to move. But if you notice, it's always spurts here in this country, especially. Now, there was awakenings in this country. An awakening is a change of culture. God's Spirit is moving powerfully through people. Revivals, you call them, but also actually awakenings are even more powerful because it's the culture that changes. Revival can be in certain areas and it can spread. But see, the problem is, and it's been throughout history, and I've read enough about revivals and awakenings, that the problem stops. You go, why did it stop? It's because men started to try to take a little bit of the glory. You need to come here to be blessed. You need to come here to be ministered to. It's because of how we're doing it here. If you need a healing, let us come. We'll pray for you. No, no, no. Peter knew better than that. He's like, no, it ain't me. Trust me, it ain't me. See, I'm the one that denied him. I'm the one that failed him. He should have cast me aside, but he didn't. There ain't no way I'm taking anything from his glory. No way. Now, again, touching on that again, look at verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded, I probably don't need to say this, but still, there is this push toward Catholicism in so many people's lives. Please understand what Peter's saying here. Don't make a medallion out of me. Don't make a saint out of me. Don't look at me. Don't kiss my feet. Don't look to me. Don't look at any other saint. It's not us. We are just vessels. Okay, I'm off my horse. Let's go. Verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or our own godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised up from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Notice that Peter quickly turns the focus off himself and on to Jesus. What were their roles? To be witnesses. The witness of Jesus Christ. He would say we are a walking testimony, the transforming power of Christ. You too, you and I, you are a witness. God has done a work in your heart, and sometimes we're the ones that say, no, I don't feel it, I don't see it, but God is at work, and what God begins, God finishes. And everything God does is good and perfect, and God is at work in your life. Peter understanding this, knowing the focus has to go on him, and I am just a witness to him. That's all we all are, is witnesses, his. That's number 9, if you're writing them down. Everything we do ultimately leads others to Christ. We are just witnesses. Last one, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, Christ, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In his name, which again, by his person, his power, his authority, his will, him, Christ did this. All, listen, number 10, all, again, maybe I reemphasize this, all, which means all, complete, all glory, all honor, all credit must go to Jesus. All of it. Not an ounce, not an inch, not a fraction, nothing held on to anyone. Only Him. In Isaiah, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Now, there's something about us. Maybe not you, but I have to tell you me, I'm a knucklehead. I'm still surprised I stand here in front of you. I'm uneducated. I have a high school diploma. And if you looked at my grades, you'd go, this is the guy that's teaching? I had a knack. For me, it was a good knack. I loved sports. It's the only reason I went to school. It was sports and friends, and that was it. In my school, you had to have a certain grade point average. I knew exactly how to do it to get to that grade average, and that's it. I was famous at doing this. The teacher would give us the assignments, and there was always certain things that gave better credit than other things. I figured out the ones I could do or had to do and the ones I didn't have to do. Luke, you didn't turn anything in. Now, this isn't praising me. Please be honest. It's one of the things I regret, honestly. I love to learn. I read so much more now than I ever have in my life. Trust me. That's why I'm wearing glasses now, probably. But the point is this. I am not somebody that you would have thought. Plus, I was the guy in the back row. I didn't want anybody to draw attention to. I hate it when the teacher said, Lucas, what do you think? And I'd sit there and stare at her like, and I'd give her a look like, really? Seriously? And then I'd probably say something stupid like, I think it's about time that the class is over, isn't it? No, Lucas, we still have 30 minutes. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Didn't you read the assignment? Yeah. No. What I'm saying this is, again, is an understanding of something. God's not looking for you as the most intelligent person. God's not looking because you're the charismatic person. God is not looking at anything but listen to this. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Not an ounce. Why? I give you a little clue. In heaven, God is going to glorify you. See, now we're all just seeds of what we shall be. And throughout eternity, you will display the glory of God. Now, He just wants us to be seeds that are open for His handiwork, fertilize, groom, to water, take care of, so that we grow and that fruit is displayed. And if we really understand this, the fruit that's displayed amazes us more than amazes others. What is it? God's glory. Who are we? His instruments. Don't present yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Yield to me, He would say. I'm looking for a people, he would tell us. A people that will come because they understand their brokenness. I'm looking for a people that won't look to their own selves to fix themselves, to be a liar to themselves, to cover up themselves, but to be open and naked before me. That they would understand, I see everything. There's nothing you do in the dark that I don't see. But I still say to you, I love you. And there's nothing you can do to separate me from that. My love for you. My desire for you is to be open to receive that love, to accept it, and to accept what I want to do in your life. And what I want to do in your life is going to blow you away because you're still going to be amazed. Don't look at the grandeur of it. That's not it. Because I'm into quality. And the quality that I desire to do in and through you is so that you too would shine the glory of me, not you, but the work that I want to do in your life. Why? Because I want you to use you to attract others to me. Because I'm the healer of the broken heart. I think God's Spirit would tell us, I am looking for those that'll just be open, humble, and yielding. You want God to move through you? So do I. Take to heart what I'm saying and don't say it's for somebody else. If you're in Christ this morning, it's for you. He knows your name. Let's pray. Lord, we hear your word this morning. We know that it's true. Forgive us. Forgive us for focusing just on ourselves. Pray as we heard this message this morning that we would take it to heart and that our focus would be upon you, Jesus. Completely on you. The realization that what keeps us really from allowing you to have your way with us and your will is our own agenda, our own way of our own blueprint of thinking what will fix us or what will make us better or what will make us happy, instead of acknowledging and realizing that our joy and happiness can never really be fulfilled separated from you. I pray, Father, for each of us, that as we hear these things, that it would encourage us to be more, more, and more dependent and desperate in our devotion for you. That would continue to encourage us to meet together, Lord. And if once a Sunday is not enough, then help us to pursue it during the week rather than being weak. I pray as a body, Lord, that we would be a body that's vulnerable to each other because we are vulnerable to you. It's the reality of who you are in our lives that has transformed us. Now we pray that that reality would also, that your Spirit would use us. Help us to be flexible. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be discerning. Help us be humble. Let our focus be on you and only you, that you may get the glory, that you may get the praise, that you may get the honor, that you may get it all. Lord, that you would use us to build up your church, that you would use us to be witnesses to those who are broken, Lord, not only in the church, but especially those who are outside the church, that this is the place that people can be real with each other, but it's also the place that they'll hear the truth in love. There's so much more to this life than what you see, so much more to this God that is the true God that he desires to reveal. My prayer for this church, Lord, is that we would be one of those churches that would be open for the movement of your Spirit daily in our lives. But not just this church, Lord. The church down the street. The church across town. The church furthest part of the state. The church throughout this nation. The church throughout the Western civilization. I would pray for other parts of this world, Lord, but you're already doing a work in those places. It's here. My heart cries. Your Spirit would have his way. Each of us. Bless, Lord, our ears this morning. And let our hearts be open to you in every facet of our lives. We ask these things in the authority that's given to us in his name. According to his will, we ask these things, knowing that you hear these things. And it really comes down to, are we open to these things? But it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.